Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. Plenty to get to on the show. Albert Breer coming up at 5:20. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL's big case against the NFL with collusion. The NBA drafts this week. We got to figure out, are the Cavs going big game hunting? Oh, yeah. The Guardians have won two straight series, looking to make it three straight series. And we got the perfect guy to talk about it right now. So we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to welcome on Cleveland's own of college basketball on Fox. He's got you covered with the NBA draft this week as he continues to dominate basketball coverage, college and otherwise. The great John Fanta joins us. John, welcome to the show, sir.
I am quite literally crossing the Brooklyn Bridge as you guys introduce me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but here I go, coming to you guys right from the expressway into Brooklyn as we speak. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
John, aren't you so glad we panicked a week ago and traded Jose Ramirez for his own good?
Yeah. Did I miss the funeral mass on Saturday morning? Did Ken Carmen have the first reading or the second reading? I'm only kidding. I must have missed the Guardians' funeral mass. No, we did talk a week ago, and that seemed to pick up some traction a little bit of hey, let's take a deep breath. Look, I think there's frustration from people that is just a little bit much for my taste. I'm not going to talk to people about how they should, you know, be fans, because I don't think that's you know, in our place. That being said, like, if this is the worst the Guardians are going to be, quote, worst, where you disagree with some of the decisions that they make. And frankly, I think that when you've got some of the kids doing what they're doing in AAA, like, I want to see Chase DeLauter play. I do. I'm ready to watch him play. I want to see him at the big league level. But if this is the worst that it's going to be, guys, that's why I went on that rant, because, like, you're not the Pirates. You're not the White Sox. And, yes, we have stronger aspirations than that, the strongest being you want to end a drought that's lasted since 1948. Does this team look like they're going to end that drought? No, they don't. But there's something to be said about, you know, making the playoffs and being in the mix. And I think a lot of people are like, well, they made the ALCS, so now it's time to go for it. I mean, I understand that line of thinking, but what exactly did you want them to do in the offseason? And if it's, well, I wish we had the money to pay a Juan Soto. Like, what realistically did you want to see? There weren't a ton of options for them. I mean, what, Anthony Santander? There weren't a ton of options for them in the offseason to significantly improve their roster. I wish they had done maybe something else than what they did, but, like, baseball is hard because it is a marathon. And I just think sometimes it's never as bad as you think it's going. It also sometimes is never as great as it might be going. But they're in the mix. This week's going to tell us a lot. This is a huge series against Toronto. But you know what? It's late June and they're in the picture. And if you're going to be upset or disgruntled by them, there's a difference between being upset about a decision they make or not seeing the kids or maybe a line of thinking from Stephen Vogt versus just saying the season's cooked, it's over. Baseball's too long of a sport to do that for and with.
Yeah, no doubt about that, John. But now it gets us excited to think about some of these prospects. Why is it you think that DeLauter, Kafis, either one of them, aren't up right now?
Well, I think that the Guardians are wrestling with a guy like Lane Thomas. And, you know, positionally it's different, but a guy like David Fry, you're wrestling with, hey, we know the subject matter and what it can deliver versus what it actually is delivering in reality. Now, Nolan Jones is also part of this because Jones, the last month, has hit over 300, has been good. If Nolan Jones is putting some good swings on the baseball, fellas. Like, he is starting to turn a corner, I think. I think. And I think he could be an X factor to the remainder of the season. I think he is one. But I think that it's one of those things where, you know, they are steadfast and stubborn sometimes to a fault, where they went as far as they did last year, and they went and got Carlos Santana back in the organization. As much as Carlos has produced some good things this season, for the roster and for the future, meaning being able to play these guys, like I do think Manzardo's development has been hurt because of shuffling the deck and when you platoon to the degree that they are, and oh, he only can hit against righties, even though he did hit against a lefty over the weekend. Like, it's watching him up there at the plate, sometimes it feels like he's got it, other times it feels like he's totally lost. So, but I can't blame him for that because of how much variation there is in terms of facing a right-handed pitcher or a left-handed pitcher. I think that they just have some clunkiness to their roster right now, and as a result, it's combined with the fact that, you know, they're a little bit stubborn and, okay, this is going to happen. I heard over the weekend the broadcast crew, and it's nothing against them. They just said, you know, that this is what they were getting from the coaching staff, that Fry and Thomas are basically in spring training still when it comes to at-bat reps. Well, that's all nice and all, but guess what? This team's in a race. They're in a race against time. Are they going to buy? Are they going to sell? What are they going to do? We're not in a zone where we can just afford spring training at-bats. We're in the regular season. We're in the meat of the season. It's now or never. And to me, your lineup couldn't be any worse than it's going right now. This team is 31-7 when they score four runs. I mean, at a certain point, you got to say, hey, if we provide a little bit of offense for this pitching, because now Ciccone, Luis Ortiz, they're giving you they've been steady here in recent weeks. And if Gavin Williams can just command the strike zone a little bit better, that rotation has figured some things out. The lineup needs a boost. You have options. I'm not saying that they're going to solve the world's problems, but to me, it's stubbornness. And I would say at some point, Chris Antonetti, you got to pull the trigger here and make a move.
John Fanta on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Moving to the Cavaliers, they were in the mix for Kevin Durant, whatever that means. And it does sound like a lot of people believe the Cavs are going big name hunting, max level player, maybe sacrificing Darius and Jared for a single player. So if they are going big name hunting, is there one player specifically you think would fit what they need and would just be perfect to take the Cavs to the next level?
Well, I'm in favor of if you can get Giannis, I think you do. I mean, to me, he is otherworldly. He just does so many things well. You can't stop him at the rim. That would only open up Donovan. They're not the same player. They're different players. I think it would put Donovan at ease because Giannis has a ring. He's been in the big moment. Not to say Donovan can't, but Donovan still has never been to a conference finals. And I actually think it's a little bit unfair to Donovan at times because I think as much as he hasn't been there, I also haven't loved who he's playing with. And you guys, we've discussed that at nauseam on this show of how I think the pieces fit. To me, I say Giannis, I wouldn't, for the record, I wouldn't touch Kevin Durant with a 100-foot long pole. Like, I know that Houston got him, and good for them. I understand why they did it, and I thought they didn't give up too much. Like, I was surprised that Phoenix ultimately did this deal. I thought Phoenix could have gotten more, and I know people were like, well, the offer from Miami wasn't great. Okay, figure something else out. Like, I don't think it's the best first step for Brian Gregory, even though he wanted to get rid of him in Phoenix. But to me, Durant, when was the last time Durant was part of championship basketball? He struggles with health. He causes some headaches. He's over the hill. He is past his prime. He is. Anybody saying otherwise, you're not watching basketball. You're stuck in 2018. So I think Giannis would be my answer to this, guys. I think that the Cavaliers have to go big name hunting. The urgency should be high because it's now. The championship window is now. And don't tell me it's open for 3 or 4 years. It's open right now. We don't know what it's going to look like in a year or two. Here's what we do know. We know that Brad Stevens is strategizing for the Boston Celtics' future as we speak. We know that the New York Knicks, while they don't have a coach, already made a move last year for Mikal Bridges. They're not afraid to go big name or do something outside of the box. Detroit and Orlando are lurking. I'm not saying they're ready to contend for an Eastern Conference title, but their plans next year are to be healthy and very, very, very good. The Cavaliers cannot stand pat. They have to go big game, big name hunting, and Giannis would be my call.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, I mean, you have Giannis, Mobley, and Donovan on a team. Shut it down, John. Like, that would be, that's all you need. And I give Kobe all
championship.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And so in that thinking, though, I've always given Kobe credit with making the Donovan move. I know he's willing to push the chips in the middle of the table, and I know he's willing to be aggressive.
Absolutely. Kobe Altman, look, no general manager is perfect. But Kobe Altman is a very good GM. I know it's not his form. I know Mike Gandy's formal general manager. Kobe Altman's a very good decision maker, and has, to his credit, he and the organization were able to record the second best, you know, extension in the history of the organization when Donovan Mitchell said, I want to be in Cleveland. I want to be here. He made that move, and that move was going to be judged by how would it work out then, and would there ever be a case where it would work out later? When that move was made, what was the instant reaction from everybody outside of Cleveland? Oh, this will be a stopgap, and then he'll play in New York. They were all wrong. I don't hear any of those people talking now. So, I know he's not afraid, and this is why Dan Gilbert, like, he ain't afraid either. He wants to win a title. And that's been the Cavaliers' objective. That is their objective, just because they won one in 2016. You know, sometimes it takes organizations years to then be able to recover when you look at some of the roster cycling the Cavs have had over the last 15, 16 years. That's not the case for the Cleveland Cavaliers, because they're committed to winning and they have the right types of people. I just think that in this instance, you're right. Kobe's not afraid to go big name hunting. And I also would say, like, if it's floated out there that Darius Garland was going to be on the table, like, does anybody ever think this is now back-to-back off seasons where Garland's name's been thrown out there? I know Garland's going to be fine when push comes to shove, if he's still in the wine and gold for training camp. But there's also a part of me that's like, if where there's smoke, there's fire. And if this continues to get talked about, clearly they're trying to figure something out. You do wonder, like, you bring back that core four. Is everybody mentally engaged? Is everything just all good? Because now you're actively engaging in talks to deal out of the core four. Clearly, the Cavaliers, for the right price, are willing to break up the core four. That is no longer a question in my mind.
John Fanta on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, we know you got you're all over NBA draft coverage this week. If the Cavs mm-hmm. do find their way, somehow, I mean, maybe it's a trade with one of their core four, yeah. maybe it's somewhere. If they find their way into a first round pick, what are some of the names you think fit what they want to do going forward?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, guys, because I think for the Cavs, like, if they were looking to get a front court piece that maybe helps them a little in the now, but then down the road, this is a draft that's going to be very guard heavy out of the gates. You know, there's a couple of unique names. One is Derek Queen out of Maryland. He's kind of a throwback, but he plays a unique style. The game slows down for him. Ryan Kalkbrenner is somebody at the tail end of the first round that if the Cavs were to move into the first round, it's a guy who won the Big East Defensive Player of the Year four times. Only he and Patrick Ewing can say that. Kalkbrenner, to me, is a valuable asset down the road in the first round. Look, I think when you think about guards that could be in, like, the teens into the 20s, if they were to dive into something, I mean, Walter Clayton, the national champion from Florida, was an absolute bucket. Miami's been rumored to be pursuing Clayton. The Cavaliers would have to trade up to, you know, around the 18 to 22 range to have a shot at somebody like him. I also think Jace Richardson out of Michigan State is a guy who's a one-and-done prospect who's really bouncy, really athletic, good playmaker, somebody else that could supplement things in that backcourt. Neek Clifford out of Colorado State is another one. 5 points per game a couple years ago, now a veteran guard. He's ready to help an NBA team. He's not a one-and-done guy. I think if you're the Cavs, you're going to try to – if you're going to dive into things, unless you really like somebody's upside and want to just groom someone, I think you want to plug and play a little bit. And in the back half of this first round, I think this is as compelling an NBA draft as we've seen in several years. Why? 12 or 13 of the top 14 picks, so the lottery picks, are going to be one-and-done freshmen. Right now, that's not Cleveland's territory in all likelihood, because there's other teams that have more assets that can move up. You know, the Brooklyn Nets have 5 of the top 36 picks. The Thunder are rumored to be trying to move up. They have 15 and 24 in this. The Pelicans have multiple first-rounders. The Grizzlies are getting rumored as well. But if the Cavs were to get into the back end of the first round, there is talent. This is not a weak draft class. I think this is a very strong draft class in the back end of this first round. So I would be intrigued to see, you know, Will Riley come to mind out of Illinois. He's got a lot of upside. There are options for the Cavaliers to get either a backcourt supplemental piece or to maybe get a big man who's fallen a little bit. Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown's another guy who I think is picking up some sleeper looks right now. And my point is, if you were to trade back into the first, you know, trade into the first round, it's a good draft to do that. There's real value. The question is then you're paying a salary that deals with the second apron and whatnot. So that's where I don't see the Cavs trading into the first round. Maybe they see something on night two that intrigues them, but I'm looking at teams the last couple of picks that are dealing with some money issues that are like, how do I get out of this 27th pick and get to the 33rd pick? Because there's a difference of a couple million dollars. And as you guys know right now, for those who don't, with this NBA second apron situation, everybody's in a race to beat July 1st. You're trying to manage your dollars as much as possible. It's why Drew Holiday is now a Portland Trailblazer.
John, great stuff, buddy. Enjoy the draft this week, and we'll catch up next week when I'm sure half Cleveland will have the Guardians in the World Series.
Thanks, fellas. John. Always fun. Hopefully they can take two or three from Toronto. That'd be good.
John Fanta, Cleveland Zone, college basketball on Fox, all over NBA draft coverage this week on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Gave us plenty to react to, which we'll do in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. 60% of the NBA is operating under this mentality. Certainly what Houston did, trading a 23-year-old bona fide superstar in Jalen Green for a 37-year-old fading superstar in Kevin Durant. It's really hard to make those kind of moves when more than half the NBA seems to think the same thing of our time is now.
But yeah, a lot of teams out there YOLOing at the moment, and that's fine. But you do have to then think about the long-term aspect of this. And as far as Giannis was concerned, listen, we had not spent a bunch of time. We did a little bit when it was like Mobley for Giannis, yeah, and that conversation. But I thought that was very interesting that Fanta was very in on Giannis, and almost like he wanted to like bring that convo back for everyone.
Yeah, and it's interesting the idea of...
I'd lay that convo to rest. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think it should be laid to rest.
I mean, I thought it was almost a non-starter. And I love the idea that because they're in on Durant, we've all of a sudden opened up our eyes to the idea that they could be in on some of these big-time names. It's just with Giannis, I just thought that conversation was over.
So here's why it should still be over. It's not that Giannis isn't tremendous. And John brings up the point of they play different positions. Giannis plays a very similar kind of position to what Evan's going to play. So I just think if you're going to make the next Donovan deal, which is a put him on the table, swing for the fences deal, it's got to be one that fits. Like you can't trade the current fit problem for a new fit problem. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I agree 100% with that. I agree with the idea that you want it to fit more than not. But like, if you have Giannis, Mobley, and Donovan, you're collecting an all-star team is what you're doing, and just saying it doesn't even matter about the fit. We're just going to go ahead and just be that much better than everybody.
Yeah, and I don't think that fits. Sorry, pardon the pun, in today's NBA.
I just think when you have a chance to add a top three player in the sport or top two player in the sport, depending what you think about SGA, you entertain those things. You do, but for some reason it feels like
Evan's,
we hadn't.
What if it hurts Evan's development?
I mean, at that point, I just have to take it for what it is. If Evan's development is hurt by playing on a team that, they're already the Eastern Conference Finals favorite right now, so I can't even say anything that's like, you'd become the NBA Finals favorites. Like, okay, fine. You're already playing in that rarefied air to begin with anyway. You are a significantly better team. If you are only able to trade Jared Allen and Darius Garland and add Giannis to the mix,
yeah, so
you're a really good team with those three.
Yeah, no, I think you're you have a high threshold of talent at the top of your roster. I don't know that makes you a good team in today's NBA. I think fit is such a reason why the Cavs have failed to this point, to then just trade one fit issue for another. And I do think like
But Giannis does things differently than Jared Allen, though. Like, I mean, Jared Allen, he obviously, the reason why Jared Allen and Evan Mobley don't work would not be the same reason why Giannis and Evan Mobley, and I don't think it wouldn't work. I think they would, it would make Evan have more of a perimeter shot. Like, that would be, it might actually be a good thing because it would force Evan to do some of the things that he has been trying to do and hasn't accelerated himself into doing.
I'm all for swinging for the fences. And Giannis is certainly a there's no way. Listen, if they trade for Giannis, we're going to be excited.
I mean, we'll be thinking we just won the finals if that happened.
That said, I think any players that you trade for, and this is not just a swing for the fences trade, but especially for a swing for the fences trade, which will hamstring you 2 years from now if you can't offload yourself one of those contracts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tracks, any of that you do, any of it has to be in service of not just giving Donovan a better chance to win a championship. It's also got to be in service of helping unlock the next rung of Evan. Because even half the reason why I'm considering moving off from Darius Garland is the idea. I think the Cavs have a math problem with a basketball, and I don't think with two ball dominant guards. It changes if you do have a wing, or it does change if you have another big. With two ball dominant guards, that's the reason they're cutting off oxygen to Evan as an offensive player because they're too busy having the ball in their hand.
Yeah, but I guess the biggest reason why it's like a daydream, though, Nick, and why I guess maybe just the conversation stops is because why would Milwaukee ever do this type of deal?
You mean like Darius, Jarrett, and a role player?
Yeah, essentially. Are they just trying to? The only thing I can think of is if they think that can be good enough to get them to close to 500, and they'd rather not just go into the complete bottom of the basement.
And if there's an idea of, hey, let's take this, run it for a year, and in a year's time, we'll try and make a superstar acquisition.
I think Bucks fans leaving with no future, real true future assets outside of potentially what Darius is for the next 5 years, I think they'd look at that as a massive failure.
I come back to the problem of, we're all a little too asset stupid. Like the tons of assets, like the Thunder have had more assets than anybody in the last 5 years.
I meant more like young players, because you know I'm the first one to crap on the idea that draft picks in the NBA mean something
but
significant.
Shouldn't you want a higher ceiling player that is younger than like three guys with high ceilings who aren't anywhere near their ceilings?
I think you want someone that's like 22 or 23 and has done it for a couple years instead of someone that's 25, 26. And is very, very injury prone.
Is there if the Cavs are apparently in big game hunting mode? I don't know that they'll be able to pull it off. I don't know the deal will present itself. But if they do, we just talked about Giannis. Is there a name you want the most?
There isn't, and that's the hard part that I have here. Is because, and I know I know you've been high on Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, and I think those are good candidates. But like, I think the problem within the Darius discussion and all of this is that there isn't that eye popping jumps out at you and says we have to make the deal for this guy, and we feel like we got significantly better and everything worked.
I'll give you a name that I would very, 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 very seriously consider and would absolutely move the needle for me.
Okay.
In the same way that Giannis would. But I don't know.
Same way that Giannis would.
The same way.
You have my ears.
It's Jaylen Brown. And I've been thinking about Jaylen and his fit with both Donovan and Evan for a while. Again, there are always going to be fit issues here because he's not a 40% three-point shooter. He's coming off a bad year. He's usually a better three-point shooter than he was last year.
You've had a thing for him for a while. I love that. I mean, I love that idea. So maybe I did lie. Maybe there is a name that can get me going. I didn't think he was on the table for us in this discussion.
Well, I mean, I think the reason you could trade for him, reroute Jared Allen, but send Darius to Boston, they finally fix up their fit thing with Tatum and Brown and whatever personality things there. Allen goes elsewhere, maybe picks up an extra asset for Boston. They get below the second apron, and you're probably gonna have to reroute a second contract, probably Max Strus, And then you get below the third apron as well.
I would love to see it test Mazzulla ball and what he can do once Tatum actually gets healthy and just a Tatum-driven team and not having the Batman-Robin duo.
I just think with Jalen Brown, to me, you'd have a superstar.
I would be panicking if I was a Boston fan and they did this.
Oh, no, not me.
If I was a Boston fan.
I think there's Boston fans ready to move on from Brown or just the Brown and Tatum thing after this year. I don't think in 7 years together, they've had one glorious moment. I think they even understand that there's a statute of limitations with those two players.
I wouldn't see it that way if I was them. I would look at it like we need to get Tatum healthy and try to run this back, try to keep this thing going. And that was a pretty dominant team up until the injury to Tatum.
But I think that's the player. Like Anthony Edwards is not available. Jalen Williams is not available. Like I'm looking at other wings who either can shoot or kind of do some of the things you need. And that is that, like, Jalen Brown might be the guy that kind of fits exactly the things that I would want. And if you got Jalen Brown tomorrow, and again, you're offloading, but definitely the 2031 first round pick, Darius Jarrett and Max Strus, I would all of a sudden believe in that you've got the best odds to win the next year's
NBA
Finals.
You're a better team, and that would actually, I mean, that would satisfy the idea that I don't know that there's going to be a return that you can get that you get the best player in the return, but that one definitely does have you have that.
Can I tell you, though, I think I might usually, I felt this way about the Kyrie deal at the time, where I was despondent because I'm like, none of those three pieces, I think it was four pieces plus the first, none of those add up to Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Isaiah Thomas, God bless the guy, even at his best, he's a really good scoring point guard who didn't do anything else that you wanted to.
Right.
Like that made you worse even if Isaiah Thomas hadn't been hurt and if he had been the guy he had been the previous year. I think this is the kind of year where with Darius, I don't think this trade is on the table. I don't think it's going to happen. But Darius for Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, I think you're a better team. Not because those players are as good combined as Darius. It's because those players tie Donovan to Evan.
Yeah, and at least in that scenario, and this is what I do like about the fit, and I like the idea that you're at least shaking up the snow globe a little bit. Like, you gotta, there's a part of me that says you have to do something. I hate that I don't have the 100% clear answer because I wish that I did. And this is what makes it hard for Kobe Altman is that, and this is what's so cool about some of these trades in the NBA, is a lot of the times these trades we don't even see coming. They just blindside you and they just come out of nowhere. But Kobe's gonna have to pull something like that rabbit out of his hat in order to make that all work for us.
Here's the tough thing: something is not enough for me. Now, and I'm not gonna rage if you don't make the move. But if you're something, and I'm gonna continue to go. If it's Isaac Okoro for Jonas Valanciunas, you're not a serious championship caliber organization, and that's fine if that's not what you want to be. If you just want to win a bunch of games, run it back, feel good, I drafted those guys, woo, 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 that's fine. Be that. But like, if you want to be a serious NBA title contender, it's time to wake the hell up on how you embarrassed yourself in the playoffs and why you embarrassed yourselves, and this team lacks connective pieces. I don't know that there's a superstar that does it, maybe only Jalen Brown. I do know that there are a lot of connective pieces around the NBA that you could get with one or two of your best players.
They got to do something. I mean, that's the point. They got to do something. That's why, although I did say I think I'm worried about Darius and hearing his name in the trade conversations for back-to-back years now and what that would do for Darius, I was always impressed with hearing that they were involved with Kevin Durant.
216-474-0092. If the Cavs are big game hunting, is there a name you want the most in Darius Garland's future in Cleveland in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan? I think we're in a really interesting spot where you and I both agree they've got to do something. I think they need to do something significant. And I think, unfortunately, listen, it's got to be Jarrett and it's got to be either Donovan or Darius. I think we know who they would choose. I think we know who they're committed to. But I think given Donovan's got a free agency choice in a year, I know he's still got a contract, but that's when the next time to opt in further is. And I think given the fact that Darius and him just do not fit together in the postseason when the levy breaks on that offense,
yeah,
it's now. So I think it's time. It makes sense that he's in these conversations. I wouldn't trade Darius for Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant.
Him too.
Any of the Kevins,
well,
really.
Mobley's supposed to be Kevin James, Garnett. So. Oh, I saw Kevin James, by the way, out. Oh, you're going to hate this. He was out last night. You know who performed in Columbus?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Columbus, Jelly Roll. And Jelly Roll brought Kevin James out to sing songs together.
That is fat man on fat man crime. Jelly Roll, come on, he's not one of us.
And it was big Kevin James. It was not like, I mean, well, hold on. Jelly Roll's not one of you guys now?
That's not what I said. I said Kevin James is not one of us.
Oh, no. You got to see the video. Like, Kevin James, because obviously he did like Paul Blart Mall Cop, and he was like big for that and everything, and King of Queens, but then he went skinny. He went very skinny. And then he started playing Sean Payton and guys like that. Now he's back to being big now.
Yeah, no.
It looked good on him.
You can be fat and not a fat person. Meaning like a fat person's person. For instance, my boy John Anderson, who I grew up with us, Woodridge Height. I'm sorry, I totally copped the thing from Baskin and realized I did it in real time.
I thought you were talking about a Sports Center anchor, so we're cool.
We were at a party our senior year, and we were all relaxed. It was a long day. It was a long day. No other reason we were relaxed. But John, unironically, said to a room full of people, "Man, I hate fat people." And John was not a svelte man. And I just remember thinking, like, you're not, you know, not Google Gobble one of us. You were the opposite of that. That's Kevin James. Kevin James was a jock who happened to get fat and then play fat in a very demeaning way towards fat people. No soul. He's got no soul.
He's back to being large. Didn't Jax one time call you Jelly Roll? And then we talked about Kevin James earlier today, and you have a lot of Kevin James opinions. I think your head would have exploded if you saw this video. And Kevin James singing, by the way.
I'm going to say this right now. Jelly Roll, do better.
How does the community look on him and the fact that he clearly was on Ozempic or something and he's lost a lot of weight himself?
Don't care. The man's lost some weight. He had some health. We don't want the filling to roll out of Jelly Roll.
Yeah. Okay.
He's just rolling now. That can be taken a few different ways.
He's just rolling now.
Yeah. Or he's just jelly. Right?
Well, no, I think that's the jelly went away.
Well, no, the jelly's if he's got diabetes, but he's skinnier. The roll went away. The point is, we're just happy for Jelly Roll to lose that weight. Seems like a legit, like, nice dude. We're in the Jelly Roll camp, even if I'm not a big fan of any of his music. That doesn't matter. I'm a fan of the person.
That's funny how I'm that same way, too, and that I don't care for really any of his music, but I think he's a good dude.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain people you're just like, I think that guy's a good dude and I root for him.
No BS. Very talented.
Oh, yeah.
He just happens to play in genres that don't work for me. But they're like, there's no disputing that Jelly Roll's talented, unlike Kevin James, who is just a hack. But I wouldn't trade Darius Garland for him. Now, I do think this begs a question. I thought you put it the best way, so I'm just going to say exactly. Is Darius being floated in these talks? Is this proof that they have interest in moving Darius or that they're just doing their due diligence?
I think they're doing their due diligence. And actually, thinking more about it, I think that they got worried that maybe Evan would think to themselves, wait, the only way you get Durant is if I'm involved. And so now they're like, oh, no. But let it be clear. Garland was the name that was in this discussion, and he's the one we're talking about. Because, listen, you can upset Darius, and I think it will upset Darius, but you don't want to come close to upsetting Evan in any sort of way.
I don't think Darius would be that upset if he got traded.
I don't think he loves the idea that he would be in trade conversations this year, even though he put himself in those trade conversations last year, despite what him and his agency want to tell you.
I think Darius is in the rare win-win situation that if he has to stay in Cleveland, he's more comfortable now than he has been. But if he gets dealt to anywhere out there, specifically a spot like New Orleans, where he could just run the offense, Jordan Poole gets residuals of playing next to Darius, and then he just sets a table for Zion. And that's a specific, but it could be anywhere. As long as it's his own team, I think Darius would be happy.
Is Colin Sexton happy?
Well, we're not going to compare a top 10 point guard in the NBA to a combo guard who puts a lot of points up on a bad team, right?
I mean, isn't that the? I mean, essentially, it's a better role than what. Like Darius wouldn't be going to Utah, but we could talk about those type of discussions.
I mean, Darius is going somewhere to be one of their three best players. Not.
Yeah, but the point is that it's going to be on a team where he's not going to be playing in big important postseason games.
I don't know that that's guaranteed.
We can come up with every conversation for Darius that you want. You want to send him to Minnesota, and it's a different conversation, obviously, right? But if you want to send him to New Orleans, that's a different conversation too.
But listen, I think they're doing their due diligence. But I just think for all the different rumors out there, they can say whatever they want. They know that the only way you can fulfill the best odds to be in the NBA Finals next year is if you actually do the logical thing, which is, and it doesn't have to necessarily just be Darius, but reshaping this roster in a meaningful way around Donovan and Evan. So, yes, they are doing their due diligence. I don't think Darius's name coming up in this is accident. I don't think it's just due diligence.
But is there anything to the idea that they're trying to skew away from anyone suggesting it was Mobley? Remember when we did the Giannis and Mobley discussions a couple weeks ago? That was it. It was Mobley's name. It was all trade scenarios, but it was Mobley's name attached to it. I don't think that was an accident that a couple of the NBA people, national people, then got whispers that no, don't even think about it being Mobley's name. That was Garland's name that was going to go in that return for Durant.
Why would they care about what name people think?
Because you don't want to upset Evan Mobley. You don't want him to think that he's on the market or anything's going to be changed with them. If everything they've said about Evan Mobley is that he's the future and he's everything that matters for this team, they want to keep that, even if it's fake, and I don't think it is, but they want to keep that pristine.
216-474-0092 is and not just the O'Connor part, but the obvious realization that if you traded for Kevin Durant, you would have to give up Darius Garland and very likely Jared Allen as well. Is this proof the Cavs have interest in moving Darius, or are they just doing due diligence? I think it's more than just due diligence. Alex in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Alex.
Hello, man. How are you doing?
What's up, Alex?
Hey, so I really just think that they were just putting it out there. I really don't think that they're honestly willing to go and try to grab KD. I think this was more of just fishing. I think it was pretty much, hey, what did KD cost? Too much. Okay, fine. But regardless, to the point of separating the core four, I don't subscribe to the fact that you should necessarily be breaking up the core four this coming year. Because we saw when push came to shove, because the core four was injured in the playoffs, it was really the bench that pretty much let it all down. I think we really should be trying to solidify our bench behind this core four. I think that'll certainly help us continue to make a championship run. I mean, I would love to see a garden here to the likes of Christian Brown. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the name, but he's a guard out of Denver. 6'6", can shoot the three lights out and get rid of him. How great would it be to have even him just on the bench behind Donovan and Garland? And he's not a 6'1 guard. So that's pretty much
he is big. Alex, he's big. He's 6'6". Appreciate you.
Alex, we appreciate it. Real quick, Alex, before we let you go, should JP have one of the pieces of pizza left in the studio right now? He's looking pretty famished.
Oh, come on. You got to have it.
Look at that.
It's free pizza. No one turns down free
Alex,
pizza.
That's the way we go there,
I'm,
Alex.
I'm not
hey,
looking
sorry,
famished.
It's called drop.
That's my skin complexion.
No. I mean, you look a little peckish. You haven't
a little peckish.
You're a little peckish, and I worry about you. You know, you can have high blood sugar, low blood sugar.
I worry about you as well, though. There's just as much free pizza here offered for you.
We're different boats there. I got to worry about my high blood pressure. You know, I could be on the precipice of diabetes. You don't have these concerns that I have. I think you're right where you need to be. But only you had one piece of pizza.
I've been good
just
for a day and a half. It's been a day and a half. I like to make it to day two.
I mean, I'd say it's only a day and a half. What are you really ruining?
Well, you do get to reset. That's the point. You do get to reset very easily, and I'm very well aware of this, but we both know it's a slippery slope for me.
Okay.
I have one piece of pizza. We got 10 pieces of pizza, and before you know it, I'm stopping and getting candy on the way home as well.
Oh, not him, Lord. Me. Take me instead. Oh, I got to follow this up with some Skittle gummies? Man. First, I mean,
that's not helping me.
Let me tell you, third world problems over here with Johnny Pizza or Pizza Land. I think Pizza Land's better. That's not a little close to Pizzagate. Well, but I think Pizza Land's better than Johnny Pizza.
Pizza Land is at least relatively clever. Johnny Pizza is like, hey, Nicky Pizza, how we doing? Like, you can call anyone, you can throw a Y on the back of anyone's name and then say pizza.
Is this proof that the Cavs have interest in moving Darius? Are they just doing due diligence? The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.